We thank you that he did come as a babe, that he might grow and live and die, that we might live. And we pray as we study thy word this morning that thy Holy Spirit might speak to us and we might understand some things that we never have understood before that would make us more effective in our witness and our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. You remember 2 weeks ago we talked about the three I Am's of service. There I'm a debtor in the 14th verse. Paul said he was a debtor to preach the gospel to the Greek and to the barbarian. Then he said he was ready in the 15th verse to preach the gospel to those at Rome. He had prepared himself. He was therefore in the 16th verse, intellectually he was not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation. And we mentioned that salvation is the all-inclusive word. It's not just justification, which is the first point of salvation, but when man is justified, when he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, he is justified. But then we are being saved, which is sanctification. That's part of salvation, is our sanctification, being set apart unto God. And then the third part of our salvation is glorification. We will in the future be glorified. And this is what the 8th chapter of Romans, the last half, is talking about, glorification. Chapters 5 through the first half of 8 is talking about our sanctification. And then, of course, the first 4 are talking about salvation in the past. Well, he's not ashamed intellectually because the gospel fits. It makes sense. It doesn't make sense to the carnal mind. But once you understand exactly what God has done and that God is righteous and cannot have anything to do with unrighteousness, then the payment for sin must be made. And it must be made complete. It must be made sufficiently. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he went to the cross, is he sufficiently made the payment for the sins of the whole world, which includes you, includes everybody in all the world. And so the whole world could be saved if they would understand the gospel, if they would listen to what God has to say. And then he says in the 18th verse, the reason why man needs salvation is because of three things. And one is found in the 18th verse, one is found in the 19th verse, and one is found in the 21st verse. The first thing, that the reason man needs salvation, is because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress or hold down the truth in unrighteousness. And then the third reason, the second reason, is because a man has a conscience and he understands that there is a God. Even though he is unrighteous, he understands that there is a God. Even though man is in rebellion against God, he knows there's a God. Now, a lot of times mankind, or a lot of men, try to, in their conscience, they try to say there's no God, and they shake their fists and say, if there's a God, wish he would strike me dead, and this kind of thing. But man has a conscience, and he is very conscious that there is a God. And this is the second reason why man is condemned and needs a Savior, because he has a conscience. And then the third thing is that there is such thing as gospel hearing. Because in the third, the 21st verse, because when they knew God, now they were conscious of that there was a God, and when they become conscious that there is a God, God is, and they want to know more, God will give them more, and so he'll give them gospel hearing, and they'll know God. When they knew God, as a person who maybe be out in Africa somewhere, or maybe in Australia, back on the backside of that big island somewhere, and they have never seen a missionary, never seen a preacher, never seen a Bible, but they know there's a God up there somewhere. And they know that their system, that their mind cannot understand, it cannot comprehend this tremendous God up there somewhere, and he can't know him. But he says, I want to know more. So God will either lead him to somebody or lead somebody to him to give him more, regardless of where he lives, when he lives, or what the situation might be. And this is the reason why we take up a light and moon Christmas offering to send missionaries around the world. This is the reason why we believe in foreign missions, because there are people who want to know. There have been missionaries who walked into villages, and this missionary may be 130, 40, 50 years old. And he's all shrunk, all his body just mangled and just completely shrunk. And just nothing but skin and bones left. He's so old. And the missionary stands and he tells them about the Lord Jesus Christ and God's love to him and how he died and made the payment for sin. The old man trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior and he died. This happened, has happened many, many times. Now that man wanted to know, and he said, why did you wait so long to come? I've been wanting to know this all of my life. I knew there was a God somewhere, and I knew he cared, but I didn't know how to get to him, didn't know how to understand him. So he understood. He believed. God kept him alive long enough for a missionary to get to him, or long enough for him to get to a missionary. When a man wants to know, God will let him know, and he'll give him gospel hearing. That's the 21st verse of the first chapter of Romans. Because that when they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. This is the reason why we have heathen. They hear the gospel, but they reject the gospel. Back several years ago in our country, during the days of the great revival meetings, there were many people who heard the gospel and they responded to the gospel. But then men in America, even today, you can go in a lot of places and you can talk to them and they know nothing about the gospel. They do not understand it. They do not understand the simplicity of what Christ did for them on the cross and the righteousness that they can have by faith in Jesus Christ, because when they heard, they said, I'm not interested. So they don't understand. And you can talk to people everywhere in our country. And it's getting worse and worse. This is the reason why we have a rise in liberalism. This is why we have a rise in people, preachers who do not believe the Word of God anymore, and that the Bible is not infallible. It's because when they knew God, what happened? They glorified him not as God. And we can take God out of heaven, and we can bring him down to earth, and we can make him like we are. And this is actually what a person who does not believe the Bible is doing. A person who is just maybe a good man, but they say that God's no better than we are, and we're just as smart as God. And I've got just as much sense as this Bible has, and I don't have to take it all. I can believe what I want to, and I'm not going to believe the rest of it. What are they doing? They're just making a God out of themselves. Anybody who does not believe this Bible to be infallible, they're saying, I'm my own God. I don't need him. When they knew God, they didn't glorify him as the supreme of the universe. They were not thankful for what he did for them by having left the glories of heaven and being born in a manger as a little babe. And living and going to a cruel cross and dying on that cross for their sins and being buried and rose again the third day because the payment was complete. And they did this, he did this for the whole world. And the world must just receive what he's done. Just believe that he did this for them personally, and they have eternal life. They were not thankful for what he did, but they became vain or empty in their imaginations. Their foolish hearts became darkened. You see, they couldn't understand the Bible anymore. Their foolish hearts began to be, where there was light, now there's darkness, because man is in rebellion against God. Man is naturally in rebellion against God, and so, of course, his foolish heart is darkened. He professes himself to be wise, but he becomes a fool. And he changes the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. You see the point here? He brings God down to man. He tries to bring God down on that level with mankind. Or, if you want to put it the other way, try to make man on the same level with God. And there is no way. There is no way. Why is he doing this? Not because he's ignorant. Not because God has not revealed himself to him. Because man is in rebellion against God. This is the reason why he brings God down. And he makes him in the image like to a man. And then the degeneration is not only bring God down as a man, but then he makes him down even further than that to like a bird. And then the four-footed beast, and then the creeping thing, snakes. And when man tries to bring God down to his level, then God gives him up three ways. He turns him loose. You see, God has sent his Holy Spirit down here on this earth to restrain mankind and to convince mankind and to convict mankind. But when mankind is in such rebellion against God that he doesn't want to know God and he's not interested in the revelation that God's given of himself, okay, God will turn him over religiously. Notice in the 24th verse, wherefore God gave them up God gave them up, or God turned them loose to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, and they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Here God has truth, absolute truth, and they take that absolute truth and they say, there's nothing to that. And they make it into a lie. Anything outside of God, any truth outside of God is a lie. Any truth outside of God is a lie. It doesn't make any difference what it is. What realm you want to have it. You see, this is the reason why today everything is, there's no absolute. This is the reason why today everything is sort of nebulous. We don't have any concrete things that we can stick our teeth into anymore. Because man has taken God and brought him down to be equal with himself. In his own mind. That is, of course, God's still up there in heaven. God's still running things. And God is still ruling. In fact, he says in Daniel that he raises up presidents and he shuts them down. He puts whom he wants to in the dictatorship of any country, in every country in all the world. There isn't a ruler sitting on a throne or in an office today that God is not putting there, according to the Word of God. And we'll see this a little later on in the book of Romans. God permits these things. Well, God gave them up to uncleanness. See, this is religiously, notice the 25th verse. And they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature or the created things more than the Creator. See, we have a religious perversion. When man knows God or knows that there's a God and he says, I'm not interested, God gives him over. God turns him loose. He says, I'm a rebel against God. I don't want to know him individually. Or maybe he hears the gospel. He is the Word of God and he knows the Word of God. And he says, I'm not interested, God. I'll get to heaven my own way. Now, we'll forget my little brother figured. He was one of these smart kind. He had to study in school. And when he got talking about going to heaven, he said, well, if anybody make it, I'll get there. Because I'm just smart enough, I think. That's what he told himself for years. Until finally one day he did trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. But there are a lot of people like this. I've talked to many students on the campus, not only here but at Delta State, who say, oh, I'm smart enough, I can make it. I've talked to businessmen the same thing. I never will forget standing out in the front door of my home church. One of my closest friends, one day I was trying to explain the gospel to him, and he says, if that's the way you get there, I don't want to go. And you talk about cold chills running over a man's body. It just nearly made me freeze. To realize that this man would not take the payment that God had made for him. He says, I don't want that. I'm not interested in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Went to church all his life. But he would brought God down to his own level. So God gave him up. God gave him up. And let him have his own little way and his own little will. Are the 26th verse, this is the second way that God gives us over. When we're in rebellion against him and we will not listen to what he has to say, we will not listen to his word, then he will give us over to vile affection. This is our actions perverted. Not only will we have a perverted religion, but we will have a perverted actions. Our actions, our social actions will be perverted too. And this is the reason why, religiously speaking, this is the reason why we have all kind of religions, getting back to the first thing, that we have Buddhism, where they worship the statue of Buddha. This is where we have idols of all kinds, little icons and all kinds, people worshiping these things because God revealed himself, they didn't want it. And we have all kinds of worship. Then we have our actions are perverted, even from religion, we're going down into the things that we do every day. Notice, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did exchange the natural use for that which was against nature. This is lesbianism. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use
of the woman burning in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is fitting. This is homosexualism. Why are we having so much of this today in our country? Why is this even becoming almost acceptable socially? I'll tell you why. Or the Word of God will tell you why. Because God has given America up, and He's given it over to His own way. You see, He restrains, and He restrains, and He restrains. And finally, acts of man says, is in such rebellion against God, says God, says, all right, I'll turn you loose. And we'll see this even further in the second chapter, how that the wrath of God is built up and built up and built up and built up, just like a dam. It's held back. The dam holds the water back. But then sooner or later, if that dam does not have an overflow, sooner or later that dam will burst. And when it does, then the whole valley below is flooded. And this is the way the wrath of God is. It's held back and it's held back and it's held back. And God doesn't want to pour out His wrath upon anybody. Because God is the God of love. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He sent Jesus Christ to be born in Bethlehem in Judea that He might die for the whole world. But when man rebels against Him, God will turn him loose. And then there will be sexual perversion. There will be actions that are perverted. And then notice the 28th verse. This is the third way that God gives people over. And this is a mental. God will give them over mentally. Not only will He give you over to your actions, and He'll let you act like you want to. He'll let you worship what you want to. He'll let you act like you want to. But He'll also give you over mentally. Notice in the 28th verse. And even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And this word retain here is dokimazo, which means to test for approval. God did, when you would not test God to approve Him. See, we can test people to approve them. This is what we do when a medical doctor goes and takes his oral examination. They test that man, not to condemn him, but to approve him, to put the doctor's degree upon him. When we have graduation, they test you, your final examination, not to condemn you. Every time you go into a classroom and you take a test, they're not condemning you, they're dokimazoing you. They're testing you for approval, give you an A if they possibly can, or they give you whatever you make. You see? And so, even as they did not like to retain, they did not like to test God to prove Him. You see, God is sitting up there, and God says He's going to do so and so and so and so, but mankind is in rebellion and says, not going to test Him. We're not going to retain God in our knowledge. We're not going to see here how God has worked in our life and what God will do for us. Even if they did not like to retain God, and then God gave them over to a mind. And all means a no, a negative. In other words, a mind that could not test God for approval. Since they did not like to retain God, or they did not like to test God, God says, okay, we'll put you where you can. This is a paraphernalia. This is paraphernalia. This is where, you know, a play on words. Paul is doing this here, and he says, you didn't want to retain God, you know, you didn't want to test it, so God fixed you where you couldn't test it. And this is exactly why we have heathen today. People have rejected the revelation that God has given them of Himself. They did not like to retain God, so God mentally gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are unseemingly or unfitting. Notice what He gives them. Being filled with all unrighteousness. And actually, that should be a semicolon. The unrighteousness is, first, fornication. Sexual perversion again. Wickedness. Wickedness means that which is on the outside, overtly. We see a lot more today, overt actions as far as wickedness is concerned. Back just a few years ago when I was coming along, people wouldn't dare have been caught doing a lot of things that they do in public today. Why? Because God is giving America over. We're going down the road of rebellion against God. We have more liberalism today than we had 20 years ago. We have more people who do not believe the Word of God. Used to, it just was in the seminaries. And then it got to be where, well, there were some preachers in the churches. And now we've got churches, just whole churches of people, where they do not believe the Word of God. that this made Bible just made contain part of the Word of God, but be the Word of God. No. And the important thing is not glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just running the church and making things go. Just as long as we got the money coming in, it doesn't matter about the people. This is the big thing in most religions today. And we have houses that are, churches that are practically empty. Even worse than ours today. Because the Word of God is not taught, not preached. Well, wickedness, overtly speaking. Then there's covetousness, which is on the inside. There's not only overt actions and not only wickedness on the outside and people doing all kind of wicked things, and we're not going to name these things because we may miss something and someone might become very comfortable. And we wouldn't want you to be too comfortable, that is, if you're overtly sinning on the outside. But there's all that on the inside which no one can see. You see, covetousness means lust patterns on the inside. You're lusting after things. That you're desiring things that nobody knows about, but you still have a lust. You're not actually satisfied with what God has provided for you. God says He's going to supply your needs. He's going to take care of you. He's going to give you everything that you need. And we're never satisfied with what He's given us. We're not satisfied with our house. We're not satisfied with our clothes. We're not satisfied with our food. We're not satisfied with anything. And yet He gives us what we need super and abundantly. So much more than we ever thought that we'd ever need. Well, then there's maliciousness. That's also inner viciousness. Then there's envy. Envy is on the inside too. That green-eyed monster. That which we desire that someone else has. And then there's murder. Look at the increase of murder in our country today. Now, this is not just talking about killing, and there's a lot of difference between killing and murder. Murder is when you take someone's life premeditatedly. And killing could be because you're ordered to do it. It's like the army or something like this. Then there's strife. Look at all the strife in our country today. Look how we'll feel with this kind of stuff, hatred and pride and strife. And how that one group is pitted against the other where there's always turmoil around. And then the next thing, deceit. How we deceive, how we defraud one another. Today you can't hardly trust a person. They're so deceitful, so fraudulent. Substitutes on the market today and try to get you to buy something. You think you're buying one thing and you're getting something else. And just all kind of frauds around. Used to, people had honor in their work, and they had pride in what they were trying to do. But today, just get by. Just make a fast buck. That's all they're interested in. Why? Well, God's given them over. God is giving us over to these things. And then there is malignity. That's malice. That's another green-eyed monster. Whisperers. Slanderers. You know, we get on the phone and, boy, we just really tear that thing up, don't we, man? A little something happens next door around the corner. Or you hear a little tidbit and the wheels begin to dial. And they buzz, buzz, buzz. Quick to spread, this kind of thing. Backbiters. Always trying to get back at somebody else. When someone does something, you try to get back at them. Haters of God. People shaking their fist at God. They're mad at God because they're in the dilemma that they're in. They even get so mad at Him, they say there's no such thing as God. This kind of thing. Insolent, that means to be haughty, to be proud, boastful to God. Then proud. Oh, the pride that we have. And then boasters, braggers, boasters and bragging, going around telling what I can do and what I am going to do and this kind of thing. And we not only don't have enough evil things, so we have to go around and invent evil things. Figure out different ways to get into trouble. Mankind is in such a condition today. Our teenagers, back when I was in high school, drugs were no problem. But we've invented some new things now. And they always try to invent a new drug to give them another trip of some kind. inventors of evil, not just drugs either. There are a lot of other things that we try to invent to trip out, as they say, or to get out of the dilemma that we're in. And then the next one, disobedient to parents. How many parents today can control their children? I'll tell you why they don't. Parents can't control the children, because God gave them over. Our society today is in rebellion against God, and we'll take man's philosophy, we'll take what man says instead of what God says, and when we do this, then we're going to have disobedience to parents. And so God gives man over to these kind of things. Without understanding, we cannot understand God. Covenant breakers. Used to, a man's word was his bond. When a man told you something, you could count on it. You didn't have to have it in writing. You didn't have to have a contract. You didn't have to have somebody to notarize his signature. All he had to do is just tell you in his word, I'm going to do so and so, and boy, that was good enough. My word is my bond. You can get it on paper today and have it notarized. It has a man's signature and notarized, and still is no good. Why? Man's in rebellion against God. Without natural affection. Repeating again, the homosexuals and the lesbianism. Implacable. Won't forgive. Oh, listen, how many churches today are filled with implacable people? You've got people who sit on one side because the other people sit on the other side. And they will not forgive. They are at one another's throat and they are just not going to do it. They're just not going to do it. You even have this in churches. And you've got people on the outside just will not, just know nothing of grace whatsoever. They don't understand God's grace, so therefore they don't have grace themselves for anybody else. Unmerciful. Just will not show mercy. The 23rd verse. Who, knowing the judgment of God. You see, they know. God has revealed himself in a man's conscience. He has a conscience. He understands there's a God. He knows the gospel. God has revealed himself unto him, the 21st verse, because when they knew God, they wouldn't glorify him as God. Now it says here in the 32nd verse, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. And this is one of the major themes and one of the keys to the book of Romans is life and death. Life and death. As Dixie said a moment ago, Christ's birthday was possible so that he might have a death day. He became a man that he might die, that we might have a life. They're worthy of death. As the fourth verse, notice the fourth verse, declared to be the Son of God, or declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection. You see, that's life from the dead. That's death. Life and death. Now, these people are worthy of judgment. And there's the 17th verse. For in it is the righteous revealed from faith to faith is written, the just shall what? Life. Live. The just live by faith. But man in rebellion against God is worthy of death. They not only do the same, but they have pleasure. They take pleasure in those who are in the same boat that they're in. And this is the dilemma today. Here's one man bucking off and running away from the will of God and God's will in his life. And therefore he influences other people to go exactly the same way. And this is our responsibility. If we have those who are in rebellion and bucking against God, then why won't we as Christians say, God, I thank you for your will in my life. I know that you have spoken to me. I know you have spoken to me in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ,
and you have spoken to me through your word. And I want to know your word. I want to know your will in my life so that I'll be able to do your will in my life. And when we hear and we understand and we know, then we are actively doing his will instead of being in rebellion. And you know, Christians can rebel against God just as easily as an unsaved person. We can be out of fellowship with him just as he would never get out of relationship, because the Bible says we have forever life. We have everlasting life. And this is a wonderful thing to know. And that to be in God's love and to be assured of this love continuously, day after day, regardless of our actions. But this should, knowing that God is not going to kick us out of the family, should make us even more zealous to serve him rather than to rebel against him in other ways. And I can't understand a man or a woman or a child who will spurn love like this. Whether we be lost or whether we be saved, a lost person, how can they turn down God's love? Man does it because he is a rebel. He's a rebel. And I'm not talking about the Ole Miss guy either. We've got a couple Ole Miss students here. All the state ones just about gone. No, don't knock them. They're here this morning. But we can still, as Christians, be in rebellion against God too, and his will for our life. And yet we see how that when God saves us, he's not going to let us go to hell anymore, but he's going to take us to heaven. Now, that's a pretty good thing. In fact, that's a wonderful thing to know, that we are not perished, but we'll have forever life. And it's God's will that we not perish. And God wants this for every member of the human race, to not perish. He said so in 2 Peter, the second chapter, that he's not willing, the ninth verse, that he's not willing that any should perish. Please, the third chapter, the ninth verse, the second chapter. But that everybody comes to repentance. Now, that's God's will for the whole world. And if God wants this tremendous thing for the whole world, then what about we who know Christ as our Savior? We are who his children. We who have received the payment that he's made. Does he not even have a greater and a better will for us than that? The answer is he certainly does. And we as children of his, when we're in rebellion against him, when we're saying, God, I'm not going to do what you say. I know I'm saved, but I don't really want to serve you. I'm not real interested in doing this. Oh, how you're cheating yourself. And God could give you over to some of these same type things. Even though you are saved, he could give you over religiously. He could give you over sociologically or socially or your actions. Or he could give you over mentally. That's not his plan.